All right, open your Bibles this morning, please, to the Gospel of Mark. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. And I want to read just a couple of verses from this chapter and use a little phrase that we will read in a moment to launch us into the message and launch us into the thought that I wish you to consider this morning. I'll begin reading chapter 1, verse 32. And so if you will follow along in your Bible as I read, and I will point out to you the text when I get to it. But beginning in verse 32, if you will go back to verse 21, you will see that the Lord is in Capernaum. Capernaum was kind of home base. At the beginning of our Lord's ministry, Capernaum was a little fishing village on the northern tip of the Sea of Galilee. That was the home of Peter and James and John, and so that was sort of home base for the Lord. And so he's in Capernaum, and in verse 32 it says, "And at even..." And then it defines for us even time. Even was when the sun did set, so evening, as we would say today. "They brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." Now, I want you to mark that. I'll come back to that after a while. But way before anybody else got up, before the sun came up even, the Lord went out and departed into a solitary place. And then if you'll look at verse 36, it says, "And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee." I want you to notice in verse 37, the little phrase, it says, "And when they had found him." Now here in this passage of Scripture, they found him in a solitary place. But it got me to thinking about all the various places that are mentioned in the Bible where men and women found him. And so I want to use that little phrase, and I want to speak to you this morning on where they found him. Where they found him. I'll give you several examples of places in the Scriptures where we are told that a certain group of people or a certain individual found the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray together, and then the message, where they found him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the beautiful music we've enjoyed this morning. Thank you for the song that is in our hearts, that, Lord, we have something to sing about. Singing is a manifestation of joy. And, Lord, the joy of the Lord is certainly in our hearts because we're saved and we know the God of the Bible. And we know that that God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we're just joyful people and thankful for what we have in Jesus. And I pray now that you will bless as we open the Scriptures. I pray the Holy Spirit to be the teacher this morning and to guide us and instruct us in the truth of thy word. Lord, I pray that through what we hear today, we will all be drawn into a closer walk with you. Lord, may our faith be strengthened. May we be encouraged as we hear the message today. And Father, I ask that you will fill me with your Spirit and enable and help me as I speak. But Lord, also give ears to hear. Bless each one now, Father, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. You know, when you sit and think about the life of Christ, one of the most enlightening things is to note the great variety of places in which men and women found the Savior as they went, as He ministered in that 3.5 years of time. You know, it's an admirable quality that some folks have when you can say of them, and you say it with a great deal of confidence, that you just know where they will be at any given hour or on any given day, that you just always know where you're going to find them. That speaks to their stability. That speaks to their consistency, and it's an admirable thing. But I dare say, and I do so with much reverence because I know the Lord is listening this morning, but I dare say that men never said that about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason they didn't say it is because they never knew where He was going to be. He was busy, as He said, about the Father's business. He did not stay in one place very long, but sought to meet and to influence and to be a blessing to as many people as possible. And so as you read the Gospels, you will see Him in this city, and then you turn the page and He's over in this city. You see Him on this hillside. Multitudes of people are coming to see Him. Then you see Him down by the lake, and then He's down at the river. And then He's over in this village, and He's out on that ridge. And He was always moving about. He's in Jerusalem. He's in the temple. He's in Jericho. He's down by the Dead Sea. He was just always moving and always about the Father's business. You know, in this day and age in which we live, when people are so busy and it's such a fast-paced society that we live in, you almost need an appointment for everybody that you come in contact with in the course of a day. You'll stop in to see somebody and they're busy, and somebody will say, you know, if you'd have made an appointment, you would have been able to see so-and-so. But what a thrill it is when sometimes we simply run into people unexpectedly. And maybe we're at a restaurant and we run into an old friend and we're able to catch up. Maybe it's at the mall or someplace familiar that we run into a familiar face. We see somebody that perhaps we haven't seen in forever and we're able to catch up. Well, I think that people were always finding Jesus in this manner. I think people were always finding the Lord Jesus in unexpected places and when they did not expect to find Him. We read in the Gospels that His fame went throughout the land. Everybody knew about the Lord Jesus. And they heard about His great healing power. They heard about how by just one touch from His hand, and whatever illness or whatever ailment you had was gone in an instant, and there were no side effects, and it was just amazing the power that He had. Well, people everywhere had heard this about Jesus. But then stop and think for just a moment as you remember what you read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Stop and think about all of the people who ran into Him unexpectedly. And when they ran into Him unexpectedly, He took care of whatever problem was plaguing them. And then just think about how, with one chance experience with the Savior, they had their lives forever changed. Now, I want us to think for a little while this morning about people who had just this kind of meeting with the Savior. They had just this kind of an experience with the Savior. People that they met Him in unexpected places. They did not meet Him perhaps where they thought they should have met Him. And I want you to think about just a few of those folks this morning. First of all, let's think about those wise men who came from the east. the wise men who came from the east. When we sing about these men at Christmas time, there is a hymn in our hymnal, and we all know it by heart, entitled We Three Kings. And we talk about the three wise men, the three kings who came to give Jesus the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Well, in all probability, that song is not correct. In all probability, there was a huge number in this caravan that came from the east. It just not would be wise. They call them wise men, and it just not would be wise, be a wise policy to come across the desert sands carrying gold in your person and only have three people there to protect it. That just would not be a very wise decision for you to make. There was, in all probability, a huge caravan of guards and of cooks and of butlers and people to attend to the needs and the wants of the wise men. It would have been a huge ordeal for these folks to pack up out of Babylon and come all the way some 500 miles in order to get to Israel in order to find the king that was at the end of this star that they had been following. But I want you to think about these wise men for just a moment. When they came looking for the king, the ironic thing is they came directly to Israel's capital city, Jerusalem. Now think about that. Isn't that where you would have come? I would have certainly thought that the king of the Jews should be born in the capital city of Israel. I mean, that would be a given as far as I was, as far as I am concerned. And when they came straight to Jerusalem, and then they sought the present king, King Herod, wanting to know of Herod, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Well, Herod had no idea where the king was, where the Messiah was born. Herod was an Edomite. He was a heathen, to say the least, and he had no knowledge of any of this. He was not ruling in Israel because he was from a long line of Jews. He was ruling in Israel because the Romans appointed him an Edomite, an Arab, to be ruling over the city as a slap to the Jews. And so when they asked him where the Messiah was to be born, he had no idea. So what did he do? He called the Bible scholars of the day. He called the rabbis and the priests and the scribes and brought them in and asked them, where do your scriptures say that the king of the Jews would be born? And of course, they knew instantly what the Bible had to say, Micah 5, verse 2, that he was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And so they told King Herod, and Herod then called in the wise men, told them what the scriptures said, and told the wise men, now you go and search diligently. And when you have found him, you bring me word again so that I may go and worship him also. Well, folks, that was a lie. He had no intentions of going and worshiping the Lord Jesus. He had every intention of going to Bethlehem and killing the Lord Jesus. For the Lord would have been a threat to his rule on the throne of Israel. And so, so he sent the wise men, but of course you know that the Lord appeared to the wise men and told them to go home a different way and not go back to Jerusalem, not report to King Herod, and so the King Herod sent his soldiers down and slaughtered the babies 2 years old and under with the intent, with the hope of slaughtering the Lord Jesus while he was slaughtering the infants. So these wise men did not do what they were asked. But here's an interesting thing. The star they followed came from, that they followed all the way from the east suddenly disappeared when they got to Jerusalem. And then it came back as they were headed towards Bethlehem. The star reappeared and it led them in a different direction. Now, where did it lead them to? Well, it led them north instead of south and east to Bethlehem. It led them north into Galilee to the city of Nazareth. Why Nazareth? Well, because that's where Joseph and Mary lived. And if you will go back and carefully read Matthew chapter 2, you will find out that the star led them to the house where the Lord lived. And when they went inside, they found Joseph and Mary, and the Bible says the young child, not baby, not infant. No, they found the young child. And when they found him, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. So it's interesting that they did not find the infant in a manger. They didn't find him in a manger. They found him in the house. And that's the manger, that's how the shepherds found him. You remember the shepherds were out on the night that Christ was born, and the angel of the Lord, interesting, the Lord Jesus himself came and announced to the shepherds that he had been born in Bethlehem. And then the night sky lit up and the angels began to praise the Lord and sing praises to God. And then the shepherds came and they found him in a manger. In a manger of all places. In a stable. You would have thought that the King of Kings would have been born at least at the Hilton Inn. Come on. But they found him in a manger. Amazing. The places where they found him. And Matthew 2:11 tells us that when the wise men came into the house, they saw the young child and they found him in one of the most unlikely places. They found him in a carpenter's house. Strange, huh? The King of Kings, the Messiah, the Lord of Lords. And they come all the way from Babylon following a star that God had put in the sky to lead them to where they could see the king with their own eyes. And when they found him in the most unlikeliest of places. They thought the one that had been heralded by the stars would certainly have been in a palace. But instead, they found him in the most unlikely of places, in a house owned by a carpenter. Folks, is this not one of the wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ? The shepherds came, they found him in a stable, lying in a manger. Think about it. The disciples found him one day walking on the waves in the midst of the raging sea in the middle of a storm. Think about it. The penitent thief found him on a cross, nailed to that cross, dying to pay the penalty for his sin. And I'm just wanting you to stop and think this morning. When you think about it, you will find him, as many others have, in the most unlikely of places. I went to Russia in 1990. 3 months after the curtain fell, I got hooked up with a trip that went over to take Bibles into the Soviet Union. It was still the Soviet Union at that time. And one of the most amazing things when I got over there was I found that the Lord had already been there. Oh, there were Christians everywhere. When they found out that a preacher from America was there, and that they had Bibles, that these preachers had Bibles, they came all hours of the day, all hours of the night, knocking on the room, on the door of our room. I mean, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, you're laying there exhausted from jet lag, trying to sleep, and there's this little knock at your door, and it just gets louder and louder if you don't answer. And pretty soon they were knocking hard on the door. And I would look over at Tom, and Tom would look over at me. We'd flip a light on, look at one another. Is there somebody knocking at our door? And we'd go walk over the door, look through the little peephole, and standing out in the hallway, looking down the hallway with fear and trepidation in their hearts was a little man or a little maid or a little cook from the restaurant downstairs. And you open the door and say, can I help you? And they say, Biblos, Biblos. And they put their hand on their heart, Biblos, Biblos. So I'd go back into my room and get them a Bible and come and hand it to them. And people would literally fall on their knees, clutching that Bible in their arms and grab you around the legs and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, squeezing. I found him over in Russia. Over in Russia, think about it. I went to the to China. I found him over there. I went to India. Found him over there. Went to the Philippines and Ireland and Guyana, South America. And I'm telling you, folks, doesn't matter where you go, people have found him in the strangest and most unlikely of places. I've been to those places and found out he was already there. And you know what that means? That means he's right here today. He's right here today, in my heart, in your heart. He said one time, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Isn't that something? He is here this morning. So if you're here this morning and you do not know him, you have not met him yet, I would love, or anybody in here would love, to be able to take the Bible and just introduce you to him. And you can find him in one of the most unlikely of places. Just like we did. Secondly, do you remember that his parents found him one day at the temple when he was 12 years old? Remember that story? Oh, that's an interesting thing. They came to Jerusalem, brought Jesus with them when he was 12. Why? Well, for his bar mitzvah, that's why. That was where, in Jewish tradition, a boy became a man. You got declared a man on that day. And so he came with Joseph and Mary to celebrate his bar mitzvah and came to the Passover and were going to no doubt kill two birds with one stone there. And it got time to leave. And so Joseph and Mary thought that he was with the group. You always traveled in a group. That's one reason why we don't think that there were just three wise men, but many in the caravan that came. It was just not wise to travel alone. Marauders and bandits and robbers, you name it, they lay in wait for anybody who was an easy target. And so Joseph and Mary thought that Jesus was in the group when they left Jerusalem and started towards Nazareth, but he was not there. He was not found. When they got to the end of the day and they looked around, Jesus could be found nowhere. Where is that boy? They said, but he could not be found. So they had to go a whole day's journey back to Jerusalem. They searched all over, but they could find him nowhere. And finally, they found him in the temple. Now, folks, I want you just to think about that. I have no doubt that when they got to Jerusalem, they looked for where they thought he might be. You know, maybe a falafel stand. Yeah, little boys like to eat. Maybe at a falafel stand. Maybe at the arcade. I mean, what 12-year-old kid wouldn't like to go to the arcade? And the soccer fields, maybe. Let's search for the soccer fields. Maybe he's playing soccer. But he was nowhere to be found. And I submit to you that they found him in the most unlikely of places. Because, you see, they found him at the temple. They found him sitting among a group of the scholars of the day, the brightest and the wisest of the day. But, you know, Mary probably didn't even see all those scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees sitting around. She probably didn't see them. All she saw was her son sitting in the middle of them. The temple courts echoed with the music of the pipes and the strings, but Mary probably never heard a single note that was being played. She was so focused on her son. They searched the city, and yet they found him in the most unlikely place. Who would have thought a 12-year-old boy would be found at the temple, sitting among the scholars of the day, asking and answering questions from the most profound minds of their time? But now, with what I have learned about him through his word, I am not surprised that he was found in church. For you see, to this very hour, whenever folks are gathered to worship the Lord still reveals himself as present and in our midst. Isn't it amazing, folks? Just think about it. Isn't it amazing how Sunday after Sunday we gather here in this little old church building in Westminster, Maryland, in little old Westminster, out of the way Westminster, Maryland, and Sunday after Sunday the Lord shows up and blesses us with his word. Isn't that amazing how that works? Do you sense his presence when you come to church? Do you sense his presence when you're gathered in this room? My, you should. Just about every Sunday night, I'm going to tell one on Pastor Holbrook, just about every Sunday night, for as long as I can remember now, about 8:30 every Sunday night, my phone will whistle at me. I have one of those iPhones, and I have it set to whistle, you know, and it'll when I get a text message. And I'll take that phone a whistle, and I'll pick up that phone, and it'll be a text from Pastor Rick. And it'll say something like this: wow, what a great service today. What great preaching today. What a great message tonight. Every Sunday night. And that thrills my heart. I like that. It just thrills my heart that somebody else has gotten blessed. And you know what Pastor Rick is saying every time he texts? Here's what he's saying: I found him tonight, Pastor. I saw him tonight, Pastor. The Lord showed up tonight, Pastor. You see, through song and through prayer and through the preaching of the Word of God, and really in mysterious ways that our minds can never fathom, we gather here each week. And when we do, we are blessed with finding out that the Lord is in this place. Folks, let's not any of us be like Jacob, who woke up and said, "Whoa, the Lord was in this place and I knew it not." Don't let it sneak up on you. You know, one day if the Lord tarries 20 years from now, you wake up and go, "Whoa, wait a minute, the Lord was in this place all these years and I didn't even know it." Don't let that be said of you. Realize what you have and how God has blessed you, and realize that this church and the way the Lord blesses here is not an accident. And let's not take it for granted. Do you find him when you come here? Well, he's here in every single service, and you should find him here, and you should let him take care of the needs of your heart. And then number three, I want you to remember from our text now how the disciples found him in a solitary place. They found him in the solitary place. Throughout the day, I didn't read all the verses previous to verse 32 where we started, but in the previous verses earlier in the chapter, throughout the day, he was busy. I mean, constantly folks were coming. And then throughout the evening, once word spread, everybody in Capernaum and neighboring towns came to see him. And he was so busy healing people and helping people and casting out devils. And he was just swamped by the crowds that came and pressed to get his attention. And then in the wee hours of the morning, long before the sun came up, the Bible tells us he got up and he went away to a solitary place to fellowship with his Father. Now, I want you to look at the wording, please. Look at the wording in verse 36. It says, "And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him," when they had found him. Now, wait a minute. Where did they find him? Go back to verse 35. They found him in the solitary place. You know what solitary means? Alone. Is there not a parable in that? I want you to imagine you're one of the disciples and you wake up and man, after what you have just witnessed all day long, you wake up and he's not there. Are you not going to go looking for him? I would. And that's what they did. They woke up, they noticed he was not there, and they all got up and went out. And then it says they found him in a solitary place. I want you to picture this little group. And they walk up and they see him alone. Alone. Do you see the parable in that? You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, I want you to just think about it. We all read about people of genius, or we perhaps will meet some special folks along the way and as we live our lives. But when you think about it, no one person really ever stands out alone. No matter who you meet or, you know, what special gifts or what talents they have, as special as one individual might be, there is always someone else who does what they do. You with me? There's always someone that does what they do. But when you find Christ, I want you to know you have found the solitary place. You see, there is none that compares to him. He stands alone among us all. Nobody else compares. I woke up one morning several years ago. I woke up one morning and I had a sore throat and I was congested and my ears hurt and I had a fever. And I called the doctor, and it said, as you called the doctor, if you would like a same-day appointment, press so-and-so. I pressed so-and-so. And then this little gal came on the phone, and she said, are you wanting a same-day appointment? And I said, yes. She said, who is your doctor? And I told her my doctor, and she said, let me look at his schedule. I think he's booked solid today. And so I could hear her typing on the keys, and she came back and she said, I'm sorry, but your doctor is just full all day long. He will not be able to see another patient. She said, is it all right if you see and gave me another name? And I said, sure, that's fine. So I went at 10 o'clock that morning and saw the other doctor. And when I went in, the other doctor took a look at me, listened to my chest, took my temperature, said, you're sick. I said, yes, I know. And pulled out a little prescription pad, wrote me a prescription for an antibiotic, wrote me a prescription for a decongestant, and then sent me on my way. Now, here's the point. There were 5 doctors in that office. 5 of them. I could have seen any one of them and they could have done for me what I needed done. There were 5 of them. Any one of those 5 could have done for me what I needed done. But brethren, when it comes to spiritual things, there is only one who can do for you what your soul needs done. Only one. Only one. And that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus stands alone. So when you've tried church and you've tried religion and you've tried philosophy and you've tried reformation and you've tried religion and you've tried baptism and you've tried confirmation and you've tried the Lord's Supper and you've tried turning over a new leaf and you've tried counseling and therapy and medication and all the other stuff, that is when you need to come to the one that stands alone and realize that he is the only one that can help you. He stands in a solitary place, standing there confronting each and every one of us as the only solution to our problems. You know, I really don't understand why we always have to make salvation so complicated. It is not complicated. It is so simple. So when you've tried everything else, and you still got problems and you still got questions, Why don't you just come to the one who's in the solitary place? And you'll find him there. Read your Bible and let him minister to the needs of your hearts. Get your eyes off the church and get your eyes off the ordinances and get your eyes off your good intentions and look to the solitary place. And there you'll find Jesus. And you need to just simply trust him. Then lastly, I want you to remember how there were those who found him simply on the road of life. Do you know where I'm going with this one? Do you remember on the day that Jesus was crucified? And that group, resurrected. And there were a stir in the city. And the stone was rolled away. And there was confusion. And Mary had seen him. And Peter had seen him. But there was confusion. And so there's these two disciples, and they're headed back to Jerusalem, or back to Emmaus, where they lived, from Jerusalem. Just a short ways. Just a short distance. Wouldn't take very long to walk it. And they're walking back. And as they're walking back, the Lord Jesus showed up. He said to them, why are you guys so discouraged? What's with the long face? And they said, have you not heard? Have you not heard? And Jesus, the Bible says, listen to this, he began at Moses and went through the prophets and explained to them himself. Now, here's the neat thing, folks. I want you to think about it. They're just walking down life's highway. They're just going home. They're just out on the road like you and I are going to do in a little bit. They're just out on the road. They're just living life. They're leaving Jerusalem, going home at the end of the day. They're just walking down life's highway at the end of the day. They're looking forward to getting home, getting a hot meal, going to sleep. These men are just doing what we all do every single day. They were simply walking the road of life. I can see them now, moving out of the way as a Roman chariot comes by, and there's two angry men trying to get home for dinner, and so they're going a little faster than they should be. But they're allowed to break the law. And they jump out of the way as the chariot flies by. Then they have to go around an elderly man who's got his leading a donkey, and that donkey is burdened down with fruit that he has spent all day picking and packing on his animal so he can take it to his fruit stand to sell it the next day. They're just going through their lives. They're just doing what people do. They're just on the common highway. It was free for everybody to use. The road was open for the beggar, but it was also open for the emperor had he chosen to use it. And it was there on the common highway that the two disciples found the Lord Jesus Christ. He just came right up to where they were. And folks, I submit to you that all of us are on that same road. It's called the road of life. Sometimes that road is dusty. Sometimes it's difficult to make it. Sometimes it gets a little steep. And there might be some obstacles that makes it a little hard to progress on the road. Sometimes you wonder, am I going to make it? And you might start to think that you're getting a little faint along the way. But wait a minute, what a difference is the journey when we find Jesus on the road walking with us. These men found him on the road of life, and they were so fascinated with the things he taught them that before they knew it, they were home. And they said, Lord, it's getting late. Why don't you come in and have something to eat and stay here? I mean, before they knew it, they were home. That's the way it is when you're walking with Jesus. He is just so full of life and so full of loving hopefulness. He is in such close fellowship with the Father that you could stay by His side and walk forever and not have a care or a fear in the world. I'm just saying, finding Him and walking on the road of life with Him by your side gives you courage for even the darkest mile you have to face. And as we walk on the highway of life, just like these two disciples, we're going to be just like them. We're going to feel our heart burn within us. Did not our hearts burn within us as we walked with Him in the way? Man, you get up every morning and just read your Bible. Get up every day and just meet Jesus and walk with Jesus. You'll have heartburn too. But it won't be a bad kind of heartburn. It'll be a good kind of heartburn. You won't have to take medicine for the heartburn the Lord will give you. When you find Him, your life will never be the same. Do you reckon these guys ever were the same again? I doubt it. I doubt it. Whether it's in the unexpected place or like the wise men found Him, or whether it's the expected place like Mary and Joseph found Him in the temple, or whether it's in the solitary place where the disciples found Him, or whether it's simply on the road of life. No matter where you found Him, I'll guarantee you'll be glad you found Him. Guarantee it. I've never met anybody who was disappointed once they found Him. Where they found Him. Just think about it. When you read the Bible, when you read the Gospels over the next couple of weeks, just think of all the places where people found Him. And then ask yourself, where'd you find Him? Where were you when you saw the Lord? Let it bless your heart.